Joan. Thanks so much for being with us again today. A very busy week.
Of course, incredible.
We've seen the beginning of the Synod for Africa.
Synod for Africa in 15 years. The last one was was 1994. So, and part of what they're discussing all this week in the private sessions is kind of a look back at that Synod, what has been accomplished since and what remains to be done. But we'll go to the Pope's words in a minute. The rest of the week's just been incredible. The Pope has been attending the sessions, but then there was the Wednesday General Audience, which obviously focused on St. John Leonardi, who was the founder of the Clerics Regular of the Mother of God and a missionary priest and actually trained as a pharmacist at one point and so forth. And then Thursday night, the amazing concert in the Vatican that was organized to mark the 70th anniversary of the start of World War II. Thursday night's concert featured music by Jewish-born composers Gustav Mahler and Felix Mendelssohn. And, of course, they were Jewish-born. They actually converted. One became a Catholic, one became a Protestant. They did convert, but they were underwent maybe not concentration camps, but underwent difficulties of being a Jew at that time. So an amazing concert. Obviously, the Pope has spoken in recent times, weeks and so forth, about World War II. Let there never again be that kind of man's inhumanity to man. But you're right, as you said, the dominant event, of course, is the Synod. And it's 3 weeks long, so it does kind of, you know, there's news coming out every day. There are press briefings and everything else. But I think, to be honest, the best way to know what they're discussing is to actually look at the Pope's homily Sunday, because he mentioned some of the ills that are striking Africa. And he talked about the spiritual toxic waste. What a phrase that is. That is being spread by the West in Africa. Africa known for its close family ties. And even its religiosity, some of which, of course, is your animism and that type of religion. But, you know, here the West is coming in and spreading relativism and materialism and secularism. And so the Pope said that this is a continent that has this extraordinary richness, especially, again, the togetherness of families. And so much of the Western, you certainly can't call them ideals, the relativism and so forth, just kind of sneaking in and affecting families, affecting the church. And so the Pope mentioned, for example, Africa's a fruitful land for human life, but this life is unfortunately marked by much poverty and still is suffering from serious injustices, to which, of course, the church is very committed to overcoming them with the force of the gospel. And it's very interesting. The Pope highlighted the fact that Africa's spiritual and cultural values, which recognize God as creator and the value of life over possessions, of being over having, they are resources that can benefit all of humanity. But he said these are being attacked, he said, by an illness that's already widespread in the West, and he called that illness practical materialism combined by moral relativism. So, and then another big point that the Pope made and talked about at length, and I know the bishops are in their meetings, is religious fundamentalism, especially when religion is used to promote political or economic interests. So I think as we go along, I mean, we're going to see some very powerful speeches by the various cardinals, by the various bishops, and of course there's invited guests who are not all from Africa that attend the Synod. And it'll be very interesting at the end to see how they tie up this Synod's work and give us a conclusion of what they feel has taken place in the last 15 years since the previous Synod. So
So another thing that is going on this week, actually happening this particular weekend on Sunday, is very big canonization of somebody I know that you love dearly.
Yes.
Father Damien, a priest who worked in Hawaii with the leprosy communities.
He did. Father Damien de Voister, of course, he was born in Belgium. He's a priest of the Sacred Hearts of Jesus and Mary. And there's a group of 550 people that came in from Hawaii. And that is a hugely long trip. I mean, it's like 4.5
from
or 5 hours.
Here to Rome.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's like 5.5 hours or 4.5 to 5 hours just from like Honolulu to California. So it's about a 20-hour trip. Bishop Larry Silva is coming in. He's very excited. I know Bishop. And I know the woman, Audrey Taguchi, who was healed miraculously 10 years ago as we speak of lung cancer. And it was her miracle, Audrey's miracle, after being investigated by doctors and so forth, it led to the canonization of Blessed Damien. And what is very interesting is that Audrey's doctor, Dr. Walter Chang, he is Chinese. He's not a believer, as far as I know, from what Audrey told me, in anything. But when Audrey, when they found this cancer and the doctor told her about it and said, wow, this is so widespread and it doesn't look like you really even have that much time. And her first reaction was, and this is what she has told me, was, well, I'm going to Damien's tomb to pray on the island of Molokai. So Audrey went over there. She made a visit with her husband and she came back, and for a test she had to have in like about a month, and the doctor was stunned because there was like practically no sign, a very, very small sign of the cancer, but nothing like a month earlier. Hmm. So then she goes in like a month or two later, and like it is gone. So then they keep on doing tests, obviously. And this is what they do have to do. The church insists on this, to that somebody isn't just in remission and it's going to come back after 2 or 3 or 5 years. But after a certain period of time, her doctor says, I've heard about Vatican, you know, the Vatican and miracles. You've got to let someone in the Vatican know. And he actually informed the Vatican. She was reluctant to do it.
Can we take a step back for a second and just tell people who is Father Damien?
Exactly. He was ordained, as a matter of fact, in Honolulu. Father Damien was sent to Molokai to take care of the leprosy patients because they had been, when they were discovered to have this disease, they were isolated and made exiled to live on the island of Molokai.
And here we're talking the 1800s.
We're talking the 1800s, exactly. Mm-hmm. He was born in 1840. He died in 1889. And after his ordination, he was sent to Molokai to take care of these people. And actually, they were going to send the missionaries just for a period of like 3 months so that nobody would have to be among these people for a very, very long time. And Father, at the end of his term, said, I don't need someone to take my place. These people need supplies. I want to stay here and treat them. He said, they're sleeping in hovels. They have one blanket, two people are sharing, so forth. We need blankets. We need this. We need that. And so he spent the rest of his life living and sacrificing for these people. He built a little church there. And there's a very beautiful cemetery where some of his other, you know, fellow missionaries. But he so loved these people. And he knew that they were so ostracized. He would have been overjoyed. The people asked the government of Hawaii to be compensated. They said, you exiled us here. We've had to leave our families. And if a couple went, like say the wife had leprosy, and if the husband wanted to stay with her, and if they had a child, that child had to go back to the mainland. And they couldn't come until they were 16. And then they could only mm-hmm. visit in a room where they couldn't even, you know, touch the parent who had the disease. So people were ostracized really until actually 1969 is when Kalupapa, this peninsula where they were forced to live, that they were declared free of the disease. But interestingly enough, the people have stayed on the island because the medical care is free. They were given homes. They're nothing fancy at all. Their life is extraordinarily simple. A ship with supplies comes in once a year. Now, when I was there a year ago, there were 25 patients of leprosy who were still living there, and several of them are in Rome this week. But Father Damien is a hero to so many people because, again, of his love for these people. He didn't feel this, disdain for these victims, because leprosy, if you've ever even seen pictures of it, this is a very visible illness affecting the skin, making people lose limbs, a nose, eyes, so forth and so on, when it was in its worst stages. So for him to stay there and not even want to be replaced by a fellow missionary, but to work was a very amazing thing.
He was considered, because he died himself of the disease, he was considered a martyr for charity.
But it's just a wonderful story. And, of course, we should not neglect to say there are four other blesseds who will be canonized with Damien. But among the other four, we must mention someone who's gotten an awful lot of attention. I have house guests this week coming exactly for her cause, is Sister Mother Jeanne Jougan, and she's the founder of the Little Sisters of the Poor. So there's many, many thousands of people who are in Rome also for her canonization.
All right. Well, Joan, I'm afraid that's all we have time for today. Pleasure, like always, to have you in here in the studio with us, and see you again next week.
All right. Take
Thanks.
Care.
Bye-bye.